Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to iPRO's Clinical Strategies to Improve Patient Outcomes Shared Session. At this time, all participants in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at this time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's event, Ms. Vicky Agramasi, Performance Improvement Coordinator at iPRO. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this rainy, icy, snowy morning in New York State. Today, actually, you know, we know a lot of you were with us last week for our final HHQI teleconference. But this morning, we're going to go back to what we had done in the past. And this is part of the educational offerings that address clinical strategies to the home health provider to reduce avoidable acute care hospitalization and overall improve our patient outcomes. So it's going to afford you the opportunity to hear directly from a high-performing group and how they approach their acute care hospitalization initiative, as well as other outcomes that they incorporated into their plan of action work. So our guest speakers for today are from the SAVE Rural Health Network, and they represent Allegheny, Ontario, Schuyler, Steuben, Wayne, and Yates counties in western New York, and of course their public health agencies. And personally, I'd like to apologize for the misprint and the error on our calendar of educational opportunities. Finger Lakes are not part of this network, and they actually have their own regional network, the Finger Lakes Health Systems Agency, but I do like to apologize for that misrepresentation. Just wanted to go back, you know, and I've said this on previous calls, that, you know, our hearts come from public health, and we all have a place in our hearts from public health. But with all the challenges that our industry has gone through, one after the next, it seems like you can't even get your head above water before you're being hit with the next challenge. But we really haven't been challenged to the same regard as public health organizations have. Essentially, downstate, public health organizations are fairly non-existent. Pretty much competitive certified agencies and long-term agencies have taken over that realm. And there is also, due to the dense geographical population in the downstate area, there's a large amount of agencies and that are very competitive. So in upstate New York, if we look Westchester going way up to Buffalo, we're looking at some counties in New York State that only have their public health agency to help them and to service their home health clients. And I know for me personally, I'm a resident of Hamilton County, one of the largest counties in New York State, and we only have public health to service our area. So when you look at the rural access to care issue, it really becomes a real issue when you look to the rural upstate areas. So it really brought to me, being from New York City, brought a really another perspective of our health system that we all need to be aware of. Also, oddly enough, I come from an organization that, you know, has been part of the public health history for generations. So it's interesting to come from both backgrounds. But, you know, as I was interviewing the SAVE Network for this presentation and some of the stuff we'll be writing about with their spirit of their collaboration, it kind of drove me to kind of look at some history of where we come from. Those of you who know me know that I love the history of nursing and of public health. And I came across a really great article by Dr. Karen Beulah Wilderson from the University of Pennsylvania. And she really wrote a wonderful article in April of 2007 in Home Health Nurse, really going through the work of Lillian Wald and the work of Lillian Wald that she did in Lower Manhattan in the early 1900s. This was where public health began. What struck me about this article is the challenges that she wrote about were almost identical to those challenges that our clinicians are facing today. And just to give you an example of that before we move into our presentation, she had written in this article that the nurses quickly discovered that discharging the needy, chronically ill violated a sense of benevolent duty while maintaining such patients as part of a caseload threatened the longevity of the organization. So, I mean, when I read statements of that nature to say, boy, you know, we have been dealing with chronic needs of our population for hundreds of years, And yet here we are, right back to the same place we were. We have an acute care system that's trying to meet the chronic needs of our population. And most of organizations are not equipped to do that, nor are our payers. So that's been a real challenge. So I just wanted to bring a little tidbit of our history into this, because this is some really, really good stuff. Just wanted to go back to introduce our SAY Network. And please take a look at their website. You can put SAY Network in your Google search, and you'll come up with their website, which is a wonderfully organized website. And the SAY Network's mission has been to integrate, promote, expand appropriate components of their public health delivery system to improve health outcomes for all residents of the network region. And more impressively is, well, not more impressively, equally as impressively, they have streamlined administrative processes, planning, and funding activity that's really allowed them to incorporate their ideas and share of staff, which, again, that spirit is just wonderful. And also that this, another impressive tidbit of information, this network was founded in the 90s, long before organizational transparency became a buzzword in healthcare. So that also is very impressive. Just to take care of some of our housekeeping work before our speakers present, if you registered for today's call on Friday, you would have received the teleconference information from us. If you had not registered for the call and you'd like the presentation materials, please go to www.ipro.org and go to Home Health section and scroll down to Past Events. And this presentation is on the top of the list. You should be able to download their presentation with no problem. And also, just as a reminder, as Chris said, this call is being recorded and should be posted to that same Home Health section of our website in about 7 to 10 days. Well, now I'd like to introduce to you our group. We have with us today, we have Bob Rozak from Ontario County. We have Cam Oswald from Schuyler County. Kathy Mosier from Steuben County. Pam Taylor from Wayne. Deb Snyder from Yates County. And Pat Meyer, who is the QI coordinator for the whole group. And we have Betsy Hull as well. So at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Betsy.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to give a brief overview of how the SAY Network got started and then turn it over to some of the committee members to get give you more details on what we do in our home care piece. We, on slide two, the funding, the network was brainstormed in a car ride when Lauren Snyder and Vicki First from Yates and Steuben Public Health Departments rode to Albany for some meeting, and there was Rural Health Network funding available, and they were brainstorming what they might be able to do collaboratively in our area. And the home care issue came up, and at that time they wanted to investigate the feasibility of actually regionalizing, looking into regionalizing the home care agencies and look at the pros and cons of that. And so an application was submitted to establish a rural health network comprised of public health departments. At that time, it was Steuben, Allegheny, and Yates counties. And it was funded through the Office of Rural Health. And the feasibility study was conducted. And it did not show that there would be any cost savings or major benefit to moving forward with a regionalized public home care agency. But the the directors at that time felt that the network would certainly benefit in the areas of gaining efficiencies, sharing resources, becoming more competitive, power in numbers, improving quality, and sharing best practices. On slide three, Schuyler County joined the network in 1998, making our acronym SAY, which stands for Schuyler, Steuben, Allegheny, and Yates. And then in 2002, we were approached by our western counties, Ontario, Wayne, and Seneca counties. They inquired about joining the network, and the existing SAE directors were a bit concerned that we were getting too big, and so they let them tentatively join on a trial basis in 2002, and we decided we'd keep them in 2003 and made them a permanent part of the network. As Victoria noted, our mission is to integrate, promote, and expand appropriate components of the public health service delivery system to improve health outcomes for all residents of the network region. On slide five, it gives you a picture of our service area. The pink counties are the SAE network counties, Allegheny, Ontario, Schuyler-Steuben, Seneca, Wayne, and Yates counties. We also collaborate on some initiatives with other counties, and those are shaded in gray. We have an emergency planning initiative that includes Monroe, Livingston, and Chemung counties. Our early childhood initiative also includes Cayuga, Chemung, Tioga, and Tompkins counties. Our objectives for the whole network are to develop comprehensive, cost-effective healthcare systems, including dental care, increase and strengthen cooperation through affiliation, coalitions, and partnerships that enhance and coordinate the array of needed healthcare services and reduce or eliminate gaps in service, improve the financial viability of rural healthcare providers, improving the economic position of the local community. Moving to slide seven, increasing community involvement and locally generated innovative solutions to healthcare system issues, increasing the number of healthcare personnel trained and practicing in rural communities, and strengthening the accountability of local providers for improvements in key public health and/or healthcare outcomes in the communities we serve. On page eight, again, our seven county public health departments include Allegheny, Ontario, Schuyler, Seneca, Steuben, Wayne, and Yates counties. The directors are noted there and the dates when they began with the network. Our organizational structure when we began, Yates County was kind enough to serve as our fiscal conduit and still does to a great degree. We did incorporate the network in 2004. We have a board of directors comprised of four members from each county served. A public health director, a county legislator, a consumer, and a provider from each of the counties, and they meet quarterly. The management team serves as the executive committee, and it's comprised of the public health directors from each of the counties and the network coordinators. Continuing on slide 10, we participate through committees. We have an early childhood committee, a fiscal committee, a home care committee, public health committee, and social marketing committee. One staff person from each of our seven public health departments comes to the table on a monthly basis and participates in one or more of those committees. Home care activities of the network. The home care committee was established back in 1998. We hired a corporate compliance officer in 2000. In 2004, we hired an in-service training coordinator to serve our seven counties, and that position was just recently expanded to be a quality improvement coordinator position. Pat Myers is with us today, and she holds that position. And she serves all seven counties in quality improvement initiatives. I'm going to turn it over to Barb Rozak from Ontario County now. She'll more in-depth description of the Home Care Committee.
Pardon me. Thank you, Betsy. Yeah, I wanted to take just a few minutes to talk about the Home Care Committee. Our home care facilitator is Betsy Hall, and we certainly appreciate all that she does for us. We do meet once a month for about 6 hours, and we're fortunate to utilize the conference room at Yates County Public Health. The facility at Yates County is a good central location for all of us to come together. As Betsy mentioned, one representative from each county does attend and participate in our home care committee, with the exception of Seneca County, who does not have a certified home health agency. Networking. I can't stress the value of networking, and in a few minutes, my colleagues will be discussing some more of the benefits of the SAY network, but I wanted to kind of go over some of our current activities and prior activities that we've been working on. To date, we have over 200 standardized policies and procedures. We've developed patient self-management plans. We developed OASIS flashcards. We have standardized chart audit tools. We're currently working on a competency fair that will go through each of our counties. We have developed an acute care hospitalization risk assessment tool. And our future project is to work on disease management plans. Moving on to slide 13, we'll each talk about some of the benefits of the network. And I'd like to introduce Kathy Mosier from Steuben County, who will start slide 13.
One of the benefits that we have is it provides a dedicated time for quality improvement activities. And this is a very important piece. Our agencies are small, being rural, and most of us do not have a full-time quality staff member in our agencies. So the network provides us one day a month of 6 hours that is strictly dedicated to quality activities. And this is huge for all of us.
My name is Deb Snyder from Yates County. In relation to the shared staff for education, support, and resource development, and corporate compliance, through the network, we have the ability to purchase educational tools such as Chester Chest. That's an IV competency mannequin. And we also have purchased an anterior torso for integumentary assessments. These have added to the capabilities of our staff a great deal. And as Barb had mentioned about the skills fair, we also have numerous vendors who kind of are clamoring at the doors to be part of that fair. So that's going to be a wonderful resource for all of our staff that our quality improvement coordinator, Pat Myers, has organized. And this fair will be taking place in the next month and in April as well. The ability to hire a quality improvement coordinator for regulatory support and guidance would have been out of the reach for most public agencies. And grant procurement, which time constraints limit for us who are working on the front lines, is done by network staff, benefiting large numbers of the public in many areas. And with regulatory changes coming out at a fast and furious pace, we do have the assistance of our corporate compliance, with corporate compliance, through our QI coordinator. And it's also a definite plus for us in rural New York State. I'd like to turn it over to Pam Taylor from Wayne County to discuss the networking.
Hi. I would like to say that one of the benefits of networking for our agency was in the past, the SAY Network hired Kim Arnold, who started monthly staff development training sessions at all of our counties. She dedicated a day a month to each county for a staff training session. We covered topics like a policy and procedure manual. We also covered education on specific OASIS questions and did in-depth training with the staff on those. And as my cohorts have mentioned, we're currently working on a skills fair for 2008, which we're all looking forward to. I would also like to say that personally, networking at the supervisory level, instead of one person at an individual small agency wearing 10 different hats, we're all able to come together and become a committee of 6 to 8 people. We're able to collaborate on the many facets of home care and quality. It could be outcome issues, policy and procedure issues, finance issues, billing issues. But we are a team. We're able to share and learn from each other. And we're also able to lean on each other for support and help. And that has been a huge benefit to all of us. And I would like to turn it over to Cam Oswell from Schuyler County.
Hi. I think Cam pretty much just said what I had intended to say. Personally, I have been bounced from program to program in our agency, working with both public health and home care. And each time I've had to go from one program to another, I just am astounded with the amount of changes that have taken place since I've left that program. So working with the same network is just invaluable, because when I have been away from a program, and particularly home care, where there are so many changes all the time, I have no problem coming to any one of the network partners and asking them for help. And the information I get is so credible, I just have no problem accepting it and taking it back to the agency. And oftentimes we do have to tweak it a little bit to fit into our individual agencies. But I just am amazed with the amount of information that I can call anyone for and get at any time. We work so well together, and I hope it can continue for many, many years to come, because we really need it. And now I'd like to turn it back again to Pam from Wayne County.
On page 14, slide 14, there's a description of our agency sizes. We are rural county public health agencies. We're mostly small rural counties with high density population areas. Some of us have long-term care programs and personal care aid programs that our nursing staff provide care for, as well as our child patients. And as you can see, our censuses vary from in the 70s to in the 200s, and these include a combination of our patients. And now I'd like to turn it over to Barb from Ontario County.
Thank you, Pam. Moving on to slide 15, we wanted to share the target outcomes that we are each working on. All the counties in the network are working on the reduction of acute care hospitalization. Allegheny has chosen to work on improving the discharge to the community. We here in Ontario County chose to work on the improvement in the status of surgical wounds. Schuyler County is working on the improvement in ambulation. Duben County has chosen to work on the improvement in transfers. And both Wayne and Yates County are working on oral medication. Moving on to slide 16, each county will give you a summary of our OBQI trends. And I'm proud to report for Ontario County that since December 2006, our acute care hospitalization rate improved by 2.8%, and we are currently at 24.6%. Since December 2005, the improvement in the status of surgical wound rate improved 10.5%, and we are currently at 85.7%.
In Steuben County, since December of 2005, acute care hospitalization rates for us has improved to overall 17%, and the same for December of 2005, our improvement in transferring rates, we've improved 13% overall.
In Schuyler County, since December of 2005, our acute care hospitalization rate decreased by 1.8%, and we're currently at 38.5% with our target goal of 35%. And improvement in ambulation and locomotion during that time is 11.2%. We're currently at 42.9% with a target goal of 50%.
In Wayne County, we were working on improvement in oral medication rate, and since December of 2006, we have a 5.5% improvement rate.
In Yates County, since December of 2005, our acute care hospitalization rate, you can either read it as reduced or improved by 2.9%. And since December 2005, improvement in oral medications was at a 10.3% improvement. I'm going to turn this back over to Betsy, who will expand a little bit on the network funding.
It makes it much easier to collaborate amongst agencies when you do have some funding support to purchase people to facilitate and do some of the work behind the scenes, although I do believe that it can be done just with one person or a couple people taking the initiative to call people together. But our funding for the network, it's grown over time, but our main core funding is our rural health development grant funding through the New York State Department of Health. That's what began the network, and we receive around $250,000 annually for primarily network staff. It funds primarily staffing and supplies, travel, and then we have some special projects funding in there as well. We provide facilitated enrollment for our 7-county area, and we receive a grant from New York State Department of Health for that as well. We received an Appalachian Regional Commission grant for to start a school-based dental program in 3 of our network counties. We received colorectal cancer screening funding from 3 northern counties, Yates, Seneca, and Ontario counties. Ovarian cancer education we provide throughout our network area. Medical Reserve Corps funding, it's actually we're receiving $5,000 a year right now, and that helps to support our emergency planning efforts. The a real nice piece of the network, and I think it speaks to the value of the network, is the fact that each of our counties provides funding to support the network. It was $11,050 per county. It's this year bumped up to $15,000 per year, which was not an issue at all. Each county was more than willing to support the network to that degree. Early childhood partnership, as I noted before, we have 4 additional counties that participate in our early childhood initiative. The non-network counties, we ask that they support our efforts, $3,000 per county, and they were more than willing to do so, and that makes up the $12,000 from that piece. And then emergency planning funding, counties support our network for our emergency planning effort in the amount of $85,000. And we've provided the contact information for all of our participants as well as my email address if you're interested in any of the information or materials that we've produced. The management team for the network is a firm believer in sharing any of the materials that we produce. We're publicly funded, and we should be supporting other New York State agencies, and we're happy to do that if you're interested. And I believe that ends our presentation.
Great. Thank you so much, Betsy. Chris, can we open up the lines for questions and answers, please?
Yes, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the 1 key now on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key.
Great. Say Network, thank you so much for a wonderful presentation. And I think while we're waiting to queue up some comments and questions, you know, I think, too, thinking back to my provider days, and as changes occur in our industry, in home health, we do take on more responsibility, and we wear more hats than we had originally done when maybe we had started at an organization. And we all want to succeed in what we do, but I was a big proponent, too, of dedicating time to do certain tasks. And I think, too, what a lot of our providers can walk away with today is, one, that the emphasis on the dedication of the time, an entire day, that's off-site. So I know Deb Snyder at Yates doesn't have that benefit, but for the most part, you know, most of you are going off-site to conduct this work. And how do you think that benefits your ability to complete work at the end of the day?
I think that's definitely true. In fact, when we were preparing for this, we were laughing because I said it forces you to put your butt in the chair and talk about it.
That's right. It does. But, you know, again, you do. I think what a lot of what I understand from what I've, you know, seen in my experience of, you know, organized regions getting together, you know, for a half a day to talk about issues that impact our industry. But I think, too, when you think about it, wouldn't it be interesting if, you know, maybe 2 to 3 hours of those regional meetings or, you know, with long-term care upstate and here in the Capital District, I know in Syracuse, they have some regional meetings, to be able to maybe dedicate a couple of hours to, you know, to quality and best practices. And I just think that that is so commendable in an environment that is just getting more and more complex to function in. Your priority remains quality. So I really commend all of your agencies for successfully achieving that. And your outcomes show. So you've done phenomenal work. Chris, do we have any comments in the queue?
Yes, ma'am. Our first question or comment is from Annette Tuffy of St. Peter's Home Care. Your line is open.
Hi, Annette. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
I have a question for the ladies from Wayne and Yates County on if they could share some of their best practices and how they improve the management of oral medications.
Oh, great. Deb?
Okay. One of the things that we have instituted is something it's really along the lines of medication reconciliation. We've done a couple of different things. We have instituted a medication sheet that is specifically geared for the patient to take to the physician. We also have a physician communication sheet that we use to let the physician know that, yes, this patient is coming to see you, and we have some issues regarding, you know, medication, this or that. There's that we fax to the physician prior to the patient's appointment, and we're having very good response there. And we also, when we have a patient going into the hospital who is, a patient of ours, we fax up their medication list that they have at home, or the medications that they're taking at home. That seems to be working very well in getting the medication reconciliation to a better point.
Deb, wasn't there more that you did also with the OASIS education?
Oh, yes. We certainly have done that with making sure that the nurses are aware of the fact that they need to take credit for the teaching that they have done really kind of go. I think Pam has the same point here that I was going to make. I'll let her make that point.
We've done a lot of teaching and re-education to nursing staff on specific OASIS questions related to medication management, and also the issue of when they're scoring their OASIS questions, to score them how the patient really is. I think that nurses tend to want to score the patients maybe a little bit better than they really are when they find them. And to take credit for their teaching and training. Also, another thing that our nursing staff does, many patients have two or three physicians involved, and often not all of the physicians are aware of all the medications that a patient is on, and our nursing staff coordinate with all the physicians involved, faxing them a copy of a medication list, so not only are the meds reconciled between the referral and what the patient says, but also clarifying amongst possibly two or three physicians that are involved in a case with one patient. Sometimes one physician may not be aware that a patient is on a medication from another physician. And so that's helped with medication management.
Excellent. Anything else, Annette?
No, I think that's it, because it's something that we struggle with, and, you know, OASIS education, definitely, we've done that over and over again. And I do agree that the nurses do tend to score them more independent than they really are.
Agreed.
Because the question is so complex. You know, it's just, you know, there's too many facets to the questions.
Yeah, and I remember back to my field days, too. You know, I think as a field nurse, the medications and being unable to manage them was one of the scariest things, you know, to be able to find the right score for the patient who has some level of impairment, you know, was always fearful. You were always fearful of scoring them at their most dependent. But again, through education and such, that's what we do. And in order to take credit for that teaching at discharge, they really need to be scored that way. So again, it's the leadership that kind of opens the door for the clinicians to say, we know this patient is this sick. We know they're that dependent. And that we know in 2 to 4 weeks that they're going to be a bit better. So, you know, again, it's just education, education, and education. Thank you, Annette.
Thank you.
Chris, do we have any other questions in the queue?
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the 1 key now on your touchtone telephones.
Okay, well, we're going to wait for that. I think, yeah, again, you know, I think overall, and some of the literature supports this as well, nursing, regardless of our setting, we tend to underestimate the overall debilitating scenario our patient may be in, either that through being optimistic or hopeful, or by really just listening to the patient instead of following our assessment skills on the patient to convincing us everything is okay, that type of scenario. So it's really complex. And I think we need to know that I think in this environment and climate in our industry, more and more we're really going to be challenged to say we need to, you know, decisions being made from this data. We need to show, you know, exactly the state our patients are in. Excuse me. So on that note, Chris, was there anybody waiting for a question?
Yes, ma'am. We have a question or a comment from Rose Dunnan of HANYS. Your line is open.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Vicki. This is Rose Duham from Haney's.
Welcome.
I had a question about the organization of the network. I was wondering a little bit. And in the objectives, the presenters you guys had talked about, talking about coalitions and partnerships that enhance the array of healthcare services and reduce or eliminate gaps in services. And I'm wondering, in terms of the network, I know that you guys collaborate in terms of the home care, but if you could talk a little bit about how the some of the other levels within of the network coordination and how the counties work together and maybe work with other healthcare priorities how to enhance the health in general in cooperation of home care with other parts of the network?
Sure. One of our big initiatives is our early childhood initiative, and we have a regular early childhood committee which brings together for that particular initiative 11 county health departments, and we work on the early intervention and preschool stuff. But we've expanded that initiative to, we began in 2004, a regional early childhood coalition, recognizing that you really need to involve providers, parents, and for the preschool side, the CPSE chairs in the planning and looking at best practices and standardization of documents and so forth. And so in 2004, we established the Regional Early Childhood Coalition, which brings together a parent, a provider, a CPSE chair, and a county rep from each of our 11 counties to address common issues that affect all those constituencies. The network, to the best of our ability, does not look to provide service. We look to partner with existing service providers and contract with them. For instance, our school-based dental program, we contract with Rushville Health Center to provide that in our schools. And those are a couple of examples of how we partner with other organizations and to fill gaps and increase services.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rose. Chris, any other questions?
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the one key now. I'm showing no further questions, ma'am.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris. Any last comments, ladies? We would like to take this opportunity to thank you so much for taking the time to make this presentation, and we thank you very, very much.
Thank you.